Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you as always. And you're going to be glad you're hanging out with me because we got our buddy Mike Mutchell back on the show. Mike is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He is the founder of MX Marketing Management Solutions. And what he does in that business is help people like you and me and lots of organizations around the world understand how to get the generations together and get them speaking and working together and behaving themselves and making things happen in the generations. His book is called They're Not Aloof, Just Generation X. Mike Mutchell, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim, thanks for having me back. Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year to you. Welcome back. Okay, so your next book should be They're Not Fogies, They're Just Baby Boomers. What do you think?
And I'm a card-carrying member.
Exactly. No, okay, here we are in on the cusp of 2010, and we're there are fewer of you and me, and there are more of these young kids coming along, right?
Yeah, it's interesting.
And the young kids
is no longer at the drive-through window. They're managers.
Exactly, and that's what I was going to say. The young kids are taking more and more of a role in the management of all the things that we're doing, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's created some interesting dynamics, you know.
So here's let me ask you about those dynamics. Have you noticed that the young kids, the younger ones, the ones that are now in their 30s, have you noticed that they are recognizing more that the way, you know, how the world was handed to them is more what they're going to have to deal with, or are they still trying to do it their way?
Well, I think that's a great question, man. I think, you know, if you asked me that question a year ago, I would still say their way.
Yeah.
I think now it's a blend, but, you know, their characteristics and their values still take precedence.
Well, the reason I ask that question, see, is, as you know, I mean, I don't wander over into your part of the world, but I do speak to young groups sometimes during the year, and college kids and things like that. I happen to wind up having an audience with those guys, and I talk to them about some things that you know are on my mind. And one of them is, you know, you guys are going to own the future, but you know, and I know you expect, you know, my generation to come toward you and to be a little more understanding, a little more patient, a little more engaging, a little more appreciative of what you guys are. You could move a little bit toward us too, Mike. What do you think? and you know, but I'll tell you, to their credit, when I say that, they don't roll their eyes at me. I mean, they actually, I can tell that they're listening to what I'm saying. I don't know how much it makes of a difference it makes, but I think it's appropriate for baby boomers to say to Gen X and Gen Y, you know, guys, you can still learn stuff from us. What do you think?
Well, it's interesting, you know. I think that if you were to ask me this question a couple of years ago, the issue would have been they were doing things or their actions were manifested in values and characteristics that they grew up with that were radically different. And I'm not sure it was my way is best, the young way, the new wave way, the tech way is better, as much as, does this make sense? It was what they knew.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now that they're in the workplace with boomers, you know, and going to lunch with boomers and socializing to a higher degree, you know, a 30-year-old will socialize with boomers more than a 22- or 24-year-old, as an example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think now they're starting to appreciate that there are differences on both sides. Since 2000, you know, we've been working with boomer management teams trying to understand Gen X and Gen Y. Now, I'm getting more readers and more audiences from Gen X and Gen Y saying, okay, I know we're on different pages, but I'm not sure why.
Uh-huh.
And in the past, you know, I would talk to boomers about the changes in the culture of Gen X and being raised independent and the technical stuff and not trusting management because their moms and dads got laid off in the 80s and the 90s. And
right.
Certainly all that has continued. And this big issue of trust, you know, I mean, employees don't trust bosses. It used to be 80% of employees under the age of 40 didn't trust management.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now the way large, and this is a big advantage for your audience, obviously, but now that big companies have continued to ultimately put themselves first ahead of their employee rhetoric, you know, the
right.
best asset walks out the door. I mean, that's turned out to be crap, you know.
Hold on to that thought, Mike. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Mike Mutzel is our guest. His book is called They're Not Aloof, Just Generation X. We'll be right back after these messages. Tweet Hill. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. You got 5 seconds or 15 minutes on any topic under the small business sun. We've got something that we can go do and read, listen, ask questions. Something you can do there that will help you with your small business, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to check out my blog. Subscribe to my newsletter. We'll send you that every Sunday afternoon. And all the stuff we have, we'll follow you home with it. If you ask us to, all you got to do is go there and check it out and let us know what you want. We'll send it to you. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Mike Mutzel is our guest, Mutzel, if you're Googling him. They're Not Aloof, Just Generation X. He's the baby boomer who's telling us about these generations. Mike, in case someone might not really understand who these people are, remind the audience who the Gen X and I know your book's about Gen X, but you're doing Gen Y now too, aren't you?
Yeah.
Tell us who they are.
So if you start at the upper scale, you know, what they called the traditionalist, or Brokaw coined the greatest generation, you're talking mid-60s up. Boomers kind of late 40s through early 60s.
Yeah.
Gen X now about 30 through mid-40s, and Gen Y, or the millennials, in mid-teens through late 20s.
Yeah. And there are about, what, 50,000 Gen Xers, and somebody said maybe as many as 100, I mean 50 million, maybe as many as 100 million of millennials.
Yeah, and I'm not sure where they get those numbers. All my research, that depending on the birth years you use, and authors get all caught up in the specifics.
Yeah.
You know, I more talk about the concepts. You know, somewhere between 68 and maybe 82 million.
Yeah, I think some people may be thinking that they're still being born, but the point is that there are a huge number of the Gen X and Gen Y, and one of the things that's interesting to me, Mike, is when I think about these, and I've said this on my show before, when I came into the marketplace, all I had was my whatever brains I had, whatever energy I had, which was a lot of energy, not much brains, but a lot of energy, and some education. I had a good work ethic, but I didn't know anything. Everything I knew, everything I have today, I learned on the job. I didn't bring a whole lot of knowledge, certainly not a lot of technical knowledge to work when I first went there. So the people who were there, the older people who were there, I had to be respectful of them. I had to shut up and listen. And do what they said, basically, because it was a different time. You did too, but now these young kids coming to the marketplace, they already have skills. They have technical skills that in many cases better than their bosses do, and that creates a little bit of an aloofness, and so they still don't come to the marketplace, Mike, with a lot of the fundamentals that you have to have to be successful in life and the marketplace. And those are things they can still learn from us old guys, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, we came up in a work culture, whether we're small business or corporate, you know, that was extremely systematic with a pecking order and rules and a
mm-hmm.
kind of an apprentice-like, okay?
That's right. That's
structure,
right.
If you will. But I think some of it goes back. You know, Jim, you and I, if you went to college, you got a business degree. That was kind of a generalist, you know.
Yep.
If you went into a
yep.
company, you really had to learn the specifics of their niche, what they did, their markets, their specialties, their holy grails, or their missions, if you will. You know, now even mid-range schools, in terms of student enrollment, not in terms of quality, have a wide variety of specialized niches. So I think they come in with a perception of they understand their niche. You know, and I don't know what the number is these days. I haven't looked it up recently, but I know not long ago it was 18 to 22% were coming in with master's degrees here.
Yeah.
You know, in specialized niches, which was far different than when you and I came in. I mean, I went back when I was 30 just because my company thought it would make me mature. You know, obviously that didn't work.
Yeah.
So they come in with this perception, but I think the underlying issue on where you're going is, you know, they just don't have an assumed trust of management, and with that, an assumed respect level, you know, of management. They grew up watching the media, as an example, where the media would question authority figures at every turn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I always get managers saying, you know, when I ask them to do something, why don't they just do it? Why do they always ask me why? And I don't think it's insubordination as much as it is a function of the culture they grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that managers that have said, okay, that's one thing I'm not going to change about my younger employees. So now I'm going to integrate why we do things when I start to set the direction of the company, and not assume that that is for a management thought process, not an employee thought process. And it doesn't take that much, you know, to relate why you're... I mean, obviously you're asking them to do something because it makes sense for the growth of the survival mm-hmm. of the company. You know, if you tie that to the specific reasons why or the experience, or another great technique is to say, okay, here's the goal where we want to go. Give me three options. The key number here is three in a meeting and ideas, and then you pick the idea that you would have done anyway, positively reinforce the idea. Now they have ownership and equity in the idea. They're mm-hmm. more likely to carry it out because they participated in the process. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. But I think to me, where things are, Mike, it's not that the kids don't have good ideas. It's not that they don't have great skills, because they have both of those. And it's not that the older generations don't have a reason for doing things and all that. It just seems to me, though, that the young kids are looking for maybe a little more respect, and the older people are looking for a little more respect, and there's not as much coming back and forth. I think the younger generations working with the older generations is completely different from ever before in the past. I mean, what we're experiencing right now, Mike, as you know, is not like any generations have ever had in the past.
Well, let me give you a quick
Hold on to that thought, Mike. I'm going to let you finish that. We'll come back after these messages. Tintel, I gotta pay these sponsors a little respect. Stay with us, Tintel. Little Heartland music bringing us back. 7 till, that's the little John Cougar Mellencamp. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for staying with me. We got our good buddy Mike Musso back with us. Mike is the author of They're Not Aloof, Just Generation X. Mike, tell us how we can find you online.
www.unlockthemysteries.com. And there's, probably 60 or 70 articles we've written nationally there, some film, and links to every one of our interviews with the Jim Blasingame Show.
There you go. So check it out, folks. unlockthemysteries.com. So Mike, as we went to the break, I interrupted you, and I don't know if you remember where you were, but a Gen X manager how to get along better with a boomer, superior, a VP, let's say, or something like that. What would you say to them? How would you tell them to give some stroke to the older guy?
Yeah, I think just conversely, like we used to tell, or we still tell, the boomer managers, once they understand the culture that the Gen X and Gen Y grew in, then they start to say, okay, now I understand why this is why that, you know. And the same thing is true on the other side. You know, I don't think Gen Xers understand that boomers grew up in an apprenticeship culture. I don't think they understood
right.
that it was systematic in order for them to be successful. You know, and once they understand the cultural backgrounds, okay, even something as simple as communication techniques. You know, I have.
But has anybody recommended that, Mike? Is anybody saying to the Gen Xers, think about the way these? I mean, I don't get the feeling that the Gen Xers even contemplate that. I mean, I think they. I get the feeling that they feel like, you know, this is the way the world should be, the way I am.
Yeah, let me give you a great example. I was working with a manufacturing company, and I had done some management workshops, and it was a young manager that I loved, just a great progressive kid. This kind of guy, you know, when you met him, he had a genuine, non-ego-driven charisma about him, you know. And when I went back 6 months later to do my follow-ups, you know, the GM of the plant told me such and such is having real problems with his employees, and I was thinking, let's call him John here. I was thinking, that's hard for me to imagine. And I said, well, can I walk around the plant and talk to the employees? And I had done their annual meeting, so the employees kind of knew me as a little celeb or whatever, you know. And I was walking around. I grabbed a couple guys in the paint department. I said, let's get a cup of coffee. And we went into the break room and had a cup of coffee. I said, how's it going, man? Have things changed since we tried to implement these changes? And they said, yeah, a little bit, you know, but not very much. And these are both boomers, probably both in their late 50s.
Yeah.
And I said, tell me about John, man. How's he doing? And they're going, John's a great guy. But to be honest with you, he's over his head. He doesn't have a clue. And this guy had like two master's degrees, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, why is he over his head? They said, every time there's a problem on our line, the first thing he does is go to the employees and say, what do you think we need to do? And they interpreted that as him
weakness.
Not having a clue.
Yeah, as a weakness.
And in fact, he was trying to get their equity.
Right, okay? right.
So when you're an outsider and you look at the situation, you're going, oh, man, this is so crazy. You know, two parties trying to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sat down with John. I said, you need to make sure you tell them, you know, I've got some plans in mind, but I want your input, and ultimately you need to understand that it's my decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And occasionally you need to make a decision that is inconsistent with the democratic school of management, okay, which you and I never saw. And explain to them your input's important. It was important in the last decision. It'll be important in the next decision. And I love your input here, but I really think this is the direction we need to go, and I'm asking you to get behind me.
You know, one of the things that's interesting these days, Mike, we've got about a minute and a half left, is the different generations doing business with each other, not working together, but doing business with each other. Like a boomer salesperson doing business with a Gen X customer, or vice versa.
Well, I get that from salespeople all the time in these corporate workshops I do. You know, I can't get this young person to return my calls or even my emails.
Right.
And I just wrote an article on this. I had an example where we were talking about ideas and kind of brainstorming, you know, and he sent the guy a text, and the text got returned in like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And he was amazed.
Yeah.
And he called the guy and he said, I feel like we've done, and they had a good relationship, but not one where he felt close to the client.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And he said, after 10 years, he goes, I get this back right away, and I'm kind of laughing, you know, and I just came back from a workshop from kind of a brazen guy, and he said, I should ask you. And the guy said, oh, man, he goes, emails, I don't even look at them, voicemails,
mm-hmm.
I get 30 a day, you text me, I'm going to text you right back.
Right.
But we have a tendency to want to communicate in the style that we feel comfortable,
mm-hmm.
not the style that's comfortable for
us. And that's the thing. Whatever your customer, and you talked about asking employees what they want, you got to ask your customers what they want, and however they want it. That's what you got
to
do.
Well, and there's no rule. You know, when you go to meet with a client, you know, where is the unwritten management rule that says you can't say, there's so many ways to communicate today. Would you prefer text? Would you prefer email? Would you prefer voicemail?
Yeah, exactly.
Because I want to do what's best for you.
Exactly. Mike, thanks for being here. Good job today.
You're awesome, Jim.
UnlockTheMysteries.com is the website, folks. Check it out. He'll be back. Mike Meisel. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll be back after the news. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.